Did you know that you could text me anytime you listen to this podcast? Just send a knife emoji to 714-597-6127. And don't worry, I'll be sure to put the phone number in the show notes. You can let me know your theories about the case, any motive theories you may have, or even suggest a case for me to cover in the future. So give it a try. Escaping architecture school with your life was just the beginning. The profession is deadlier than you think. I'm Tennille, and this is Death by Architecture. Savas Savopoulos was an accomplished businessman who had managed to grow his family's company into one that generated sales over $11 million annually. He was also a family man, adored by his three children and doted on his wife. But all that would change one afternoon in May 2015. In today's episode of Death by Architecture, the story of a wealthy family in Washington, D.C., who became victims of a home invasion turned murder that has since been referred to as, quote, the most heinous crime anyone has ever committed. As the chief executive of American Iron Works, Sava lived a life that only a few Americans could ever dream of. The construction firm had been in his family for decades and constantly turned over a massive profit, thanks to its position as one of the leading manufacturers in the industry. Besides construction, Sava had a passion for martial arts. He began working to open a studio in Chantilly, Virginia, that was equipped with sleeping quarters so that those who shared his passion would be able to comfortably live and train simultaneously. This lucrative business venture enabled Sava to purchase a sprawling multi-million dollar mansion in Washington, D.C., where he lived with his wife, Amy. Both in their late 40s, the couple had three children together. 19-year-old Abigail and 16-year-old Katarina were away at an elite boarding school while the youngest, 10-year-old Philip, was still in fourth grade. They also employed a housekeeper, 57-year-old Vera Figueroa, who had been with them since 2002. The job allowed her to support her two children back in her native country of El Salvador. However, both children had managed to land well-paying jobs, which is why she was more than ready to leave the United States and return home. Unfortunately for her, these plans were cut short by horrific events that unfolded in the spring of 2015. That year, on the afternoon of May 14th, firefighters were called to the upscale neighborhood of 3201 Woodland Drive. Inside, the authorities came upon the bodies of Sava and Amy, along with their youngest son, Philip, and their housekeeper. All three members of the Savopoulos family were pronounced dead at the scene, while Vera was given CPR and taken to the nurse hospital, where she was later pronounced dead. The news sent shockwaves across Washington, D.C., especially since the family was counted among its elite. Because the Savopoulos family was incredibly affluent, it was initially believed that they were victims of a home invasion and a robbery, but as the investigation continued, the authorities revealed that they had actually been restrained with duct tape and held captive for more than 18 hours before being killed. Every single victim had died from blunt force injuries, which were said to have come from a baseball bat that was recovered from the home. They also sported signs of being strangled, smothered, and stabbed. Little Philip in particular showed even more horrifying injuries with multiple stab wounds that suggested he had been brutally tortured in front of his parents to force them into giving up their money. The investigators further noted that the mansion's sophisticated security system had not been triggered, which meant that it was possible that the Savopoulos either knew their predators or had willingly let them in. As the house was thoroughly searched, the authorities came upon a discarded Domino's pizza crust which they bagged as evidence in hopes that it contained genetic material that could lead them to whoever was behind this grisly crime. Fortunately, they didn't have to wait too long. The half-eaten crust did contain critical DNA evidence, and it led them to a 34-year-old man named Darren Wendt. After a week-long manhunt, he was arrested and charged for first-degree murder. Born on November 27, 1980, Darren was originally from Guyana and immigrated to the United States in 2000. He was a recruit in the Marine Corps, but he was discharged before he completed his training due to medical issues. The years that followed him involved a number of criminal offenses, including charges of theft, burglary, and possession of weapons. But Darren was also a certified welder, and in 2003, he was able to land a job at Sava's company, American Ironworks. He didn't get along with any of his colleagues, though, which led to him getting fired in 2005. Darren's defense lawyer, Robin Ficker, would later paint a different picture of him, saying that, quote, "He was a gentle guy. He was a student of Prince George's Community College. He wouldn't hurt a fly. He was the kind of guy you wouldn't mind your grandmother going to lunch with," end quote. But the events that ultimately led to the tragic murders of the Savopoulos and their housekeeper could tell a crueler story about Darren. The authorities believe that Darren entered the family's home at around 3 in the afternoon on May 13, 2015, where he found Amy and Philip, who had reportedly stayed home from school that day due to an illness. At the time, Sava was inspecting the martial arts studio that he was opening in Virginia. However, he rushed home at approximately 5:30 p.m. after receiving a call from his wife, Amy. He needed to come home and watch Philip because she needed to go out. But upon entering his home, he was said to have discovered Amy and Vera bound in one bedroom while Philip was restrained in the other. Traces of Savas' blood that were found later in the dining room gave investigators reason to believe that he was attacked before being restrained as well. At some point that evening, Jordan Wallace, whom the Savopoulos had hired as an assistant, received a voicemail from Savas asking him to report to American Ironworks office the following morning to retrieve a package. Meanwhile, Amy was made to order two pizzas from the local Domino's. To ensure that she wouldn't have a chance to alert the authorities, Darren allegedly forced her to request that the delivery man leave the boxes at the door, where a tip in an envelope awaited him. Sava also made another call, this time to the family's second housekeeper, Nalitza Gutierrez. Unable to reach her, he left a voicemail instead, saying that his wife was sick and that Vera would be sleeping over. Yelling was reportedly heard in the background of his message, and many believe that that was the sound of Philip being tortured. The following morning, at around 7 a.m., Jordan once again received a call from Sava, who reminded him to retrieve the package. Ted Chase, the CFO of American Ironworks, also was called with an odd request for $40,000 in cash, although he was allegedly told that the money would be used for an equipment auction. With these unusual instructions from their boss, Jordan and Ted met at a branch of the Bank of America to withdraw the requested money. This was then left on the driver's seat of a sports car that was parked in the family's garage, as per Sava's instructions. At around the same time, Vera's husband, Bernardo Alfaro, also went to the Savopoulos' after growing concerned about her absence the night before. Although he was unable to talk to anyone, Sava reportedly called him a few minutes later to claim that she had accompanied Amy to the hospital for a checkup. Satisfied with this explanation, Bernardo returned home to await a call from Savas, who had promised to let him know which hospital the women were at. This call to Bernardo would never happen. The authorities had a mountain of evidence that pinned Darren to the murder scene. Besides his DNA from the half-eaten pizza, pieces of his hair were also found in a hard hat in the garage, as well as in Philip's room where the fire started. While the presence of his DNA at the crime scene was damning enough, Darren was also found in possession of at least $7,000 in $100 bills at the time of his arrest. Money orders that amounted to approximately $13,000 were confiscated from one of his brothers as well. Despite all these pieces of evidence, it still took prosecutors 3 years to build their case against Darren. Once it started on September 11th, 2018, it reportedly featured one bombshell testimony after another that ultimately tied him to the murders. Among those that took the stand against him were his brother, Stefan, and his half-brother, Daryl. In addition to these testimonies and the evidence recovered from the Savopoulos' home, the prosecution also used Darren's digital footprint, noting that his Facebook account was inactive from May 13th to May 14th, even though he was an avid user. They also pointed to his internet history, which they deemed suspicious since it included searches for countries with no extradition treaty and the best hideout cities for fugitives. Who the hell Googles this stuff? Like, I Google a lot of things, but I am damn sure not Googling extradition treaties and best cities to hide out for fugitives. I'm an idiot. The prosecution argued that Darren Wendt was fueled by both greed and a thirst for money, which was exacerbated by the fact that he had been fired from American Ironworks, despite this having occurred nearly a decade before. On the other hand, the defense claimed that it was his younger brother who was the real mastermind. They further held that Stefan and Daryl Wendt had deceived Darren into helping them carry out the brutal murders. But in the end, the prosecution's argument convinced the court even more. On October 25th, 2018, after 7 weeks of hearing testimony, they found Darren Wendt guilty of all 20 charges against him, which included kidnapping, extortion, arson, and first-degree murder. For these, he was given 4 life sentences, a punishment that many approved of, considering the horrific ordeal that the victims, especially 10-year-old Philip, had been forced to suffer through. On December 22, 2020, Darren Wendt and his lawyers filed an appeal for a new trial. In the 55-page brief, they claimed that Judge Juliet McKenna had improperly blocked his lawyer from calling to the stand an additional witness that, quote, that robbed the defense from presenting a powerful piece of evidence, end quote. His attorneys had initially been prohibited from calling this witness because they had already presented their case. Moreover, Judge McKenna at the time ruled that the testimony wouldn't have refuted Daryl Wendt's alibi, which is why the defense was not entitled to an additional phase. As of April 2021, no further news about this appeal had been reported. During the 2018 trial, a grief-stricken Katerina Savopoulos posted a photo of her being held by Sava. With it, she wrote, quote, "You will always be my hero, my role model, and I love and miss you so much. Thank you for teaching me courage, loyalty, and how to believe in myself. Love you to the moon and back, Baba," end quote. That same day, she posted a picture of Philip that showed him with bright eyes matched with an even brighter smile. Alongside this, she wrote, quote, "Would do anything to see that smile again. Love and miss you," end quote. The authorities and residents of Washington, D.C. may feel confident that the murderer has been duly brought to justice, but the surviving Savopoulos children feel differently. For Abigail and Katerina, no amount of life sentences will ever make up for the loss of their parents and their beloved younger brother. So, do you think Darren Wendt is guilty or innocent? Do you really think he would hold a decades-long grudge and come back to kill this family for firing him? What are your thoughts on the DNA being on the scene, the pizza crust, and the hair? Or do you think it was maybe one of his brothers? You could text me your thoughts on this case. Just text the knife emoji to 714-597-6127 right now. I'll reply, read some of your theories on the air, and send you updates about the podcast. If you enjoy this podcast, please rate and review on Apple Podcasts. And tell an AEC friend about it too. You can find me at Death by Architecture on Instagram. That's all I got for this week. Stay safe, everyone.